we say mostly by Moses, because Deuteronomy is the book where Moses dies. So in the end of Deuteronomy, around chapters 33 and 34, we have the death of Moses. So it is believed that Joshua completed the book of Deuteronomy. So it is the fifth and final book of the books of the law, also known as the Pentateuch, and it consists of 34 chapters. It is a reminder to the Israelites of what God has done for them and where he has led them. And they are at the end of their exodus from Egypt, and they are right at the edge of the promised land, which is across the Jordan River. The Lord is speaking through Moses to the people prior to his death, which takes place in chapter 33. The Israelites have wandered for 40 years in the wilderness after God delivered them from slavery in Egypt. Why did it take so long? Because they kept disobeying God, even in the midst of all the miracles he performed and all that he provided for them. God loved them so much that he kept their shoes and clothing from wearing out for 40 years. We find that in Deuteronomy 29, verse 5. In chapter 30, the Lord is speaking through Moses and giving the people a choice between life and death. And in verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Let's pray. Almighty God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for everything that you have given to us, freely given to us, and everything you have blessed us with and the blessings yet to come. Lord, your love is so amazing. And we just ask that right now that you just fill me with your Holy Spirit and that your word just come to life for each and every one of us, that we will leave here today changed and closer to you because of it. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So blessing and curses, and he's put before us both blessings and curses. So what is this really all about? So go back to verse 1. Look at verse 1. And I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning. It says, now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, and there the Lord your God will gather you, from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commands, which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, and the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the books of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. How many times in chapter 30 did we hear, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. Obey him, hear his voice, walk in his commands and his statutes. And the blessings was life, abundance, prosperity. It was all there. But he even told the Israelites this, even while they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And yet, they had a very difficult time giving their all. When we were at Warsaw camp meeting and our youth evangelist, he said something that was really, really profound, and I haven't really stopped thinking about this. He talked about grading scales. And different districts, school districts, have different grading scales. 90 to 100 can be an A, 80 to 89 can be a B, and so on. Anything below 60 is an F and you're failing. But a D minus to an A plus is still passing. How is that possible? You don't even have to do your very best and you can still pass. Other grading scales might be a little harder. 95 to 100 is an A, 90 to 94, 89 to 94 could be a B, and so on. It varies depending on the district you're in. But what's God's grading scale? All or nothing. 99% is not meeting the mark. It's all. He wants all of us. And yet, God's love for us is so great, and his mercies are new every morning, and his grace is so mighty that when we're only given 99%, he still sustains us. But have you ever wondered, how many blessings have I missed because I wasn't giving my all? Is the struggles I face because I'm not giving my all? I say I love God. I'm doing my best to follow his teaching. I want to be an example of Jesus to everyone I come in contact with. But what goes on behind the scenes? What is happening in the other parts of my life? When trials come, am I still able to give my all? Am I still able to say, I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Even Jesus says that in Matthew and in Luke. They both recorded it. And in Luke, he says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. In Matthew, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. But it's with everything you have. He even goes on to say, and love your neighbor as yourself. That all the prophets and the law hang on those two commandments alone. It's all about love. Love the Lord your God with all you've got. With everything you've got. And he promises abundance and life. That is the life, that is the blessing that he's talking about. I put before you today, blessing and cursing. Life and death. The blessings is life, an abundant life, an eternal life. The curses is death, an eternal separation from God. It's not the physical death. Mm-mm. It's a spiritual death. So where are you today? What have you chosen today? Have you chosen life? Or have you chosen death? Or are you on a teeter-totter? Sometimes I find myself on the teeter-totter. I pray and I pray and things might be going great, and then something is said or something happens and I think, what in the world? So Lord, I'm going to keep my eyes on you. I'm going to focus on you, and things seem to go good. But then I start thinking about what was said or what was done, and now I'm kind of getting angry. And now I'm on the other end of the teeter-totter, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, God, why aren't you doing this? Why haven't you just hauled off and slapped that person across the face for what they said? Do something. You know, I need some kind of revenge here. I'm really feeling irritated. I feel like I've been let down. And then keep your eyes on Jesus. He says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Keep your focus on him. Now I'm on the other end. God, but this and this and this. So I'm choosing death when I have taken my focus off of God. Even though I might be praying it, my focus isn't really on God. My focus is on what's going on and why is it happening and how it makes me feel and what do I need to do. When I need to just keep saying, Lord, I'm hanging on to you. Yeah, what was said hurt deeply. But what's said is said. I can't do anything about it. But what I can do is choose to not let that bother me, not let that dictate my next step, not let that define who I am as a person, but I move on and focus on Jesus Christ. So I've been really thinking about this all thing, because after I heard that youth evangelists say that about the grading scale, I really began to look at me. And I really didn't like some of the stuff that I saw. And I began to pray and I began to say, Lord, just like that song, open my eyes that I can see. What do I need to do different? What does this loving you with all really mean? The heart, the soul, the mind, your strength. They're all kind of related. And then it hit me. And it's stuff that we've been discussing in our youth group, and it is so powerful. What is it that God has really given us? You have at your exposure right now within you the second most powerful thing in the entire universe. And if you have Jesus living in you in a relationship with God Almighty, you also have the most powerful thing in the universe within you, his Holy Spirit. But he has given you the second most powerful thing in the entire universe. And we find it in Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And Jesus humbled himself and took on the image of us, of mankind, and became obedient to God the Father, even through death on the cross and resurrection. Let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. And guess what else we find? And it is in 2 Corinthians 2:6. We find 1 Corinthians 2:6. We find out that we have the mind of Christ. The second most powerful thing in the universe. What goes on in that mind? You see, the devil himself knew. He knew that when God created mankind on the sixth day of creation, that God gave mankind something that he didn't give anything else that he had created. And the devil knew it. And that was the mind that was in Christ Jesus, was in Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve, we can see through the book of Genesis at the beginning how they had a relationship with God. They communicated with God. He walked with them in the evenings. They had a relationship, a daily relationship with God. And yet here comes Satan on the scene. And what did he do? He spoke. But where did he get into? He got into their mind. But look at this. This looks good. You want to eat this. What did God say about this? Well, God said, don't eat it, or you will surely die. And what did the devil come back with? You're not going to die. Your eyes are going to be opened. You're going to be just like God. But see, the whole thing was he already knew that mankind had a connection to God that was so powerful that it could destroy the devil. So he lied. He lied to them, deceiving them. He got in their head. He got in their mind. And they fell. They gave in. They took it. Well, guess what? That's what he does to you and me, too. He gets into our mind. He tries to make us think that what we think about doesn't matter. But it does matter. Because every single day, every single moment, even right now, you are thinking, you are feeling, and you are choosing. God loved us so much that along with this mind that he has given to us, that is like the mind that he gave Christ when Christ came to this earth. We think, feel, and choose. He gives us free will to choose. Just like he said in Deuteronomy 30:19, what he's put before us. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. And here's what this life is all about. It's a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. You have to love him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. If you get your mind in the right place, everything else falls into place. It's amazing. Learning about the mind is phenomenal. There are three parts to your mind. The unconscious, metacognitive part, the conscious part, and the symbolic part. The metacognitive part, the non-conscious part of your brain, is working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It processes 400 billion pieces of information every single second. And when you're sleeping, that non-conscious part of your brain has taken all the information that you received while you were conscious and awake, and it's sorting it out, and it's making connections in your mind. And your brain, by the way, your brain is not your mind. Your brain is the house that the mind uses to fill up. It stores everything that comes from your mind. And yes, you can see it on brain scans. Your thoughts look like trees. They show up. You have a forest in your head. Did you know that? But it's amazing because everything does matter. Your conscious part, while you are awake, you are processing around about 1,000, maybe 2,000 pieces of information every second. But yet we're not really aware of that, are we? It happens so fast, but it's there. the metacognitive part of the brain drives the conscious part of the brain and the mind, and it works into the brain because when you're conscious, your brain is alive and it's active and it's moving around. It's got these electrons firing. Yes, you have electricity in your brain. You have magnetism in your brain, and it all works together to help your body function. So the mind controls the brain and the brain controls the body. The brain was made for love, not lust. For love. 1 Corinthians 13 tells you exactly what kind of love we need to have. It defines that love that we are to love God with and we are to love our neighbor with. It's right there in 1 Corinthians 13. How we are to love one another. But the mind is a battlefield where the devil comes in and trips us up. He knows if he can get us in a negative mindset that our lives will be affected in a negative way. And he's got control. Wow. Do you realize that every negative thing that you focus on grows? So does every positive thing. But with that negative mindset, and everything is bad, and I'm this, and I'm that, and nothing goes right, and oh, it's just horrible, horrible, horrible. And I know you, I'm sure you know at least one person that you've seen that is so focused on drama that everything goes wrong, it's always wrong. You don't even want to be around that person because you feel awful after you leave. But their focus is on that. Everything that you focus on grows, and it affects your body. It affects your brain. So if you're focusing on a negative mindset, guess what happens? The part of the brain that God has created, the frontal lobe, for you to be able to think clearly and rationalize and evaluate things and make good judgments, it starts to die. It gets damaged. With every negative thought that you focus on damages that part of your brain. But guess what? The brain is neuroplastic. It changes. So when you start focusing on Jesus Christ and you start focusing on the positive things, it heals that damaged part in the frontal lobe of your brain. And your brain starts working together the way it's supposed to do. And it gets excited. And when it gets excited, it tells the other parts of the body that produces the good hormones to produce the good hormones. And you feel happy. You feel joy. You feel peace. Guess what? You develop the fruit of the Spirit, kindness, love, joy, peace, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Control. Against such there is no law. Your body thrives on that. And guess what happens after that? That takes place in your mind. And your brain then sends messages to the rest of the parts of the body. And you are healthy. Oh, to be 100% healthy, wouldn't that just be awesome? But the opposite happens as well. When we are stuck in that negative mindset, it goes with us everywhere we go. We base our choices off of how we feel and off of what we're thinking. And as the parts of the brain start to get damaged from all those negative things that are going on, the brain goes into overdrive in certain places. And it contacts those hormone-making places in the body. We need more cortisol. We've got too much stress happening here. Get more cortisol. Cortisol goes to where it can't go anymore, and then it heads out to other places that might be a little weak, like the liver, the pancreas, the gallbladder, the kidneys. And it'll go there, and it builds up fat. It builds up all kinds of things. And before you know it, you now have this bellyache. And why do I have this bellyache? Something's going on. Did you know that 75 to 98% of all illnesses start with stress? Not that they're inherited. We're predisposed to a lot of things. And if we start saying, well, my dad had this, so that means I'm going to have this. Well, you're probably going to have it because you're telling your brain you're going to have it, and it's going to tell the rest of your body you have it, and it's going to happen. It all works together. That's amazing how God in his infinite wisdom, decided to make us. And he put us all together, so very intricately woven together. And those of you in the medical field or taking biology, you learn anatomy. And you see all the intricate little details that we can't see because we've got this skin on the outside. But it's amazing what God has done. You did not come from a blob. So don't believe it. Because God's word tells us in Deuteronomy and in Psalms, and even in the New Testament, God says, I knew you before you were even formed. God knew each and every one of you sitting out there right now before your parents even got together. And he says to Jeremiah, I knew you before you were even formed, and I consecrated you. And for Jeremiah, he consecrated him to be a prophet. Guess what? If he did it for Jeremiah, he did it for you. He has consecrated you. And he has a plan for you that is only for you. And only you can fulfill it. You may be a teacher, and there may be a whole lot of other teachers like us out there. But there's only one you that teaches the way you teach, no matter what strategies you use. No one can replace you. No one. No two people are alike, not even identical twins. But how we think, feel, and choose determines how we fulfill what God has planned for us. Is he our number one focus? Is he your all in all? You have been given the second most powerful thing in the universe. And that is the mind of Christ. Take time, I encourage you, take time. Become aware of what's going on around you and within you. Because you know what? You are more valuable than all the wealth in the world. And you know what? You are worthy of the love of God. I believe for far too long, when I've heard other pastors say, you're not worthy. You're not worthy. We're not worthy of what God did for us. We're not worthy of Jesus dying on the cross. We're not worthy. We're not worthy. You know what? It's the total opposite. I have not found the scripture that tells me I'm not worthy of God. I find the total opposite when I read the scripture that says, I knew you before you were formed. And I've consecrated you. I've read the scripture that says, I knew you in the innermost part of your mother's womb, and I knitted you together. And the breath that you breathe is God's breath. It didn't just happen. It came from God. It all started as a thought in God's mind, and it became a word, and he spoke the word, and the worlds became what they are. And we have his written word right here, that we can go to it and see what God's thoughts were and are. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we weren't worthy of our Creator, there's no hope. And yet many of us Christians sometimes get on that teeter-totter and we live in the no-hope stage. Because we feel like we're not worthy. We feel like we're not good enough. But that's a lie, straight from the devil. He's gotten in our minds when we start thinking that way. We have to go the other way. I am worthy. What made me worthy? Because I am created in the likeness and the image of God Almighty. And he gave me the second most powerful thing in the universe, and that's the mind of Christ. And I have to go to him to find out how to use it. But he tells us right in his word. And the first thing is to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. It starts in the mind. We love him with everything. We think about him. We want to please him. We want to serve him. Have you ever made anything in your life and you've looked at it and you were just so proud of what you made? You didn't want anything to happen to it. And maybe it's the best meal you've ever made and you don't want it to go away. You want to cherish that meal because the next one might be burnt. So you take a picture of it and you post it on Facebook. So now it's out there for everyone to see the best thing you've done. But if something happened to it after you took that picture, it fell on the floor or something else, it got all eaten up and now there's nothing left to prove that you created the best meal you've ever made, you feel a little bit, oh, really? Did that just happen? Anything you've made, you've cherished, especially when it turns out awesome. Don't you think God feels the same way about us? When he looks at us, he says, I've made you. You are my masterpiece. And here comes the devil. And he splashes paint on God's masterpiece of a negative thought, of a bad word, of a dirty joke, of lust, of jealousy, of bitterness, of gossip, of anger, of anything he can that will keep you focused on it. And now God's like, that was my masterpiece. But you see, with God, he can come right back in, just like he told him in Deuteronomy, when you turn back to me, I take care of all of it. I want you to come back to me. I'll bring you from the furthest place that you think you are. You might think you can never get back to me. And God says, yep, you can. Just turn around. Here I am. I'm right there. I'm going to bring you out from wherever you are, how far you've gone. I'm bringing you back, just like he did the Israelites, to bring them back for the promised land. And here we are today, right now, standing on the edge of our promised land, eternity. None of us knows when our last breath is. The Jordan River is right there in front of us. And we're just waiting to cross on to be on the other side in the promised land of eternity. And the only way we can get there is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. I encourage you today, put on the mind of Christ. Start thinking about all the good things that he has done in your life. Ask him to make you aware of what's going on around you so you don't get tripped up by the devil, because he is out there. Bible says he's out there like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. He's just waiting for a moment when your focus is quite not on God. But pay attention. Pay attention. You have that ability. You have that God-given ability to sit and think and take on what's all going on around you. And then you ask him, show me through your eyes, Lord. I want to see the truth. Because the devil will come back and he'll try to get you to see things a different way, and it's not true. The devil is nothing but a liar, and he is the father of lies. And we know that lying is one of the seven sins that God absolutely detests, even the white lie. And anyone that tells lies and continues to tell lies, you're not on your way to heaven. You have chosen death over life. If lying is something you get tripped up in, because I don't know one person that has never lied in their life. Because we all have tripped up and we all fall short. Ask God to make you aware of what's going on inside your mind. You have the mind of Christ. Don't let the devil put anything else in there. He's going to try. But know who you are. You are a child of God. You are stronger than the devil because you have Jesus Christ in you. Now, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart and you're not living your life for Jesus right now, you've chosen death. You've chosen death. God has put before us this day. He says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Because when you choose life, and that is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. When you choose life and you choose Jesus Christ, it shows and it pours out on your family, on your descendants. And you have a peace about you that they're like, wow. Even your very presence will make a difference in a room full of people when you are sold out to Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us when we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we are serving Him and we are following His commandments, that even our enemies will be at peace with us. That's powerful. And you have it. You have it. It's right here. And it is within you. Don't let the devil destroy your thinking. Focus on Jesus Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All those things we've talked about in youth are all things good. All things good. You want a healthier life? You want to feel a freer life? Start thinking about God all the time. Start talking to Him all the time. Ask Him, that song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open your eyes to Jesus and allow Him to open your spiritual eyes to the real truth of life and death. So today, choose life. And that is the life of Christ. You can serve Him 100%. You can love Him 100% with all of you when we put on the mind of Christ. Are we going to fall sometimes? The Bible tells us we do. But we have evidence that God is still there to pick us up and say, okay, let's learn through this and let's move on. For greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So today, choose life. And it takes a surrender. We have to surrender our humanness and ourselves, our whole being, everything about us, to Jesus Christ. We surrender everything we've got. And if you have to name everything you own, and everything you have, and everything you hold dear to give Him that to, give Him that to. But He wants all of you, your entire being, all of you. And He will take care of all the trials and afflictions that come upon us. But we have to keep our focus on Him. So the worship team can go ahead and come up and be thinking about you and the mind that is within you, the mind of Christ. And how are you using it? How is it working for you? Surrender all. Surrender your all to Jesus. He just wants all of you. And when we do that, we have the blessings that come with it. And we receive all of the promises of God. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, as we humble ourselves before you right now, Lord, I just can't thank you enough that you loved us so much, that you've given us the mind that was in Christ Jesus. Teach us today how to use it, how to cherish it. Help us, Lord, to be able to look to you and surrender everything else around us to you so that we can experience you to the fullest and life to the fullest. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you please stand?